That's our theme song now, actually.
It is. That's canon.
Scrap the other one.
Get rid of it. We don't need
Trash.
It.
Trash.
Welcome back to another episode of Honestly.
A horror cast.
With Zoe and Logan.
That was Logan.
And that was Zoe.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
And welcome to our season finale.
Aw, we made it.
First season in the can.
Wrapped.
Wrapped.
It's a wrap,
baby. Summer is dunzo, and so is season one of Honestly, a horror cast.
We've gone through all the movies that exist at press time.
At press time.
More to come.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. We will be back. Trust and believe.
And there will be blood.
There will be.
But we thought we would do a fun little wrap-up episode to kind of recap the season that we just finished.
Yeah.
For those of you that are just tuning in now, we watched all of the Saw films.
Yeah.
From the first one all the way up to Saw X.
Saw X.
If you haven't listened to those episodes yet, you should go do that.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch waiting.
Literally 10 of them. So go check those out. And then come back and listen to this wrap up.
So, as we do with every episode thus far, we're going to run through the key players. Though, this time, our key players are the movies.
Starting with Saw 2004.
Hand brackets.
Two strangers awaken in a room with no recollection of how they got there and soon discover they're pawns in a deadly game perpetrated by a notorious serial killer.
Dun dun. Now, our plot summary is a little different, and it's just Jigsaw has died, Jigsaw has risen, Jigsaw will come again.
Ding 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 ding.
You may now stand.
Now kneel.
And stand
now
again.
Stand.
Now kneel.
Now sit.
Spin three times.
Touch your toes.
Touch your nose.
Simon says. Bread.
He'll come again. He'll be back.
Saw 2.
2005. Hand brackets.
A detective and his team must rescue 8 people trapped in a factory by the twisted serial killer known as Jigsaw.
Our plot summary? Saw 2. Electric Boogaloo. It do take nerve. House.
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 With a U.
H-A-U-S.
House.
House.
Nerve.
House of Nerve. You're now entering the House of Nerve. It do take nerve.
It do. Saw 3, 2006.
Hand brackets.
Jigsaw abducts a doctor, likely thing for him to do, in order to keep himself alive while he watches his new apprentice put an unlucky citizen named Jeff through a brutal test.
I love an unlucky citizen named Jeff.
That's He's great. Unlucky because his name is Jeff.
Our plot summary is Amanda, honey, we have brain surgery at home. That's ours.
I love it. Saw 4, 2007. Despite Jigsaw's death, and in order to save the lives of 2 of his colleagues, Lieutenant Rigg is forced to take part in a new game, which promises to test him to the limit.
Dun dun.
Push it, push it
to the limit, limit, because we're in it to win it,
in it to win it, yeah.
Our plot summary is Saw 4, more like Saw our peepaw's dick and balls, because he's spread eagle on the autopsy table. And that should just be the actual summary, if you ask me.
It's the only summary that matters, because what more is there?
That's it. That was the whole movie.
That's it. That's all. Okay, Saw 5 from
2008.
Following Jigsaw's grisly demise, Mark Hoffman is commended as a hero.
And he is.
But Agent Strom is suspicious and delves into Hoffman's past. Meanwhile, another group of people are put through a series of gruesome tests.
That's true. They are. Our plot summary? 1 hour and 38 minutes of pure, unadulterated Hofstrom foreplay. Those old men are horny for each other.
Old men?
They're old men. They're old. We're just little babies.
We're so young
and just
full of life.
Youthful and glowing. And it's just, those old men are horny for each other.
And they are.
They are.
Okay, Saw 6 from 2009. Agent Strom is dead.
He just laid up like that.
Point blank period. And FBI agent Erickson draws nearer to Hoffman. Meanwhile, a pair of insurance executives find themselves in another game set by Jigsaw.
also known as the healthcare system doesn't care if people live or die. Also, please, if you wouldn't mind, get into this trap designed to kill you to make a point to your boss. Right now, we're feeling helpless.
Right now,
we're feeling helpless.
And we are, always.
All the time.
Okay, moving on to a personal favorite of ours, Saw 3D from 2010. Actual plot summary. As a deadly battle rages over Jigsaw's brutal legacy, a group of Jigsaw survivors gathers to seek the support of self-help guru and fellow survivor Bobby Dagan, a man whose own dark secrets unleash a new wave of terror.
It's a safe house. Get it? Safe house. Misogyny 3D.
3D, baby.
3D.
Pew, 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 misogyny pew. Like you've never seen it before.
3D.
Jigsaw 2017. Bodies are turning up around the city, each having met a uniquely gruesome demise. As the investigation proceeds, evidence points to one suspect, John Kramer, the man known as Jigsaw, who's been dead for over 10 years.
Also known as, the party ended 10 years ago and Logan's still here. Jigging all by yourself, handsome. That's our plot.
Jigsaw? I haven't heard that name in 40 years. Okay, Spiral 2021. A criminal mastermind unleashes a twisted form of justice in Spiral, the terrifying new chapter from the Book of Saw.
The Book of Saw.
Our favorite book.
Also known as Chris Rock, live from the South Metropolitan Police Department, sponsored by Taroni.
Taroni Delivery.
Taroni Delivery.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And they delivered a lot of things.
Taroni do be delivering. And then last but certainly not least, Saw X from 2023. Mm-hmm. A sick and desperate John travels to Mexico for a risky and experimental medical procedure in hopes of a miracle cure for his cancer, only to discover the entire operation is a scam to defraud the most vulnerable.
And that's what we like to call revenge is a dish best served with a fuck-ass bob.
Amen, sister friend.
Great films.
Great
stunning
films.
Work.
Absolutely stunning. We love. What an amazing season it has been.
God. They just don't get better.
They really don't.
Than Saw movies, they just don't. Are we ready to rank the films?
Oh boy. Oh boy.
I feel like we should consult our Letterboxd reviews to see what we were thinking then and if it still stands.
That's a very good point because, you know, like in the moment,
we say a lot of things.
We just be saying
we
things.
We feel a lot of things. Deeply.
But now that we're a little bit further removed, let's revisit.
Yeah. We have time. I feel like Saw 1 is always going to be at the top. Close to. If not
absolutely.
The top.
Absolutely. Okay, so going through our rankings that we did when we ranked them on Letterboxd. Saw, we gave 4 stars to. Saw 2, 3.5 stars. Saw 3, 3 stars. Saw 4, 4 stars. Saw 5, 2 stars. Saw 6, 3.5. Saw 3D, 5.
5.
10s across the board.
5.
Jigsaw, 2.5. Spiral, 1.5. And Saw X, 5. 5.
Yeah.
So Saw X and Saw 3D are the only ones we gave 5
yeah.
stars to. The first one we only gave 4 stars to, but it's like, it is like a 5-star film.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Saw 3D is always going to be
up
there.
It's S tier for sure.
It's just like in a league of its own.
Mm-hmm.
Just entirely of its own.
Yeah.
And then, like, we get into actually, like, good movies.
Yes.
Like, Saw is the best. Saw 3D is the best movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's wacky.
It's weird and wonderful and wacky.
And whimsical.
There's so much whimsy.
So much whimsy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, like, we love to have fun.
Yeah. We famously love to have fun. And I do think, like, that's kind of in its own
yeah.
tier up at the top.
Yeah.
But then if we get into, like, the real ranking, I think it would be, like, Saw X.
Yeah.
Same level.
Same level.
Same tier,
mm-hmm.
even.
Mm-hmm.
then we are Saw 4 apologists.
Yeah, we have to be.
We were quite fond of that one.
Yeah.
When we watched.
Like, Rig is entertaining to watch.
Yeah, and hot.
And hot.
I don't think that could be overstated. We do have to
say that.
That's important to me personally.
What other movie opens just full frontal nudity, as some might say?
Full frontal male nudity.
Elderly male nudity. Yes, right in front of our very eyes.
Nobody's doing it like Saw 4.
They just said, welcome to the movie. Here it is. Look at it.
Dick and cock.
Continue to stare upon it.
And you did it at my birthday dinner.
And you did it at my birthday dinner. Time and place.
And the time and place is the beginning of Saw 4.
It's right now.
Absolutely.
I feel like that would be... I think that's still close to the top.
Yeah, like it's not like the top. No. But it's like...
Saw 3D is separate. Yeah. Don't look at her. That's our favorite.
League of Rome.
Don't touch her. Then... Saw.
Yeah.
Saw X.
Mm-hmm. Then you go down a single level.
Yeah. And then there's 4.
And then it's Saw 4.
Yeah. We're safe with that.
I feel comfortable with that. Saw 2. Pretty good.
It's decent. I like the concept of the house.
Yeah.
I like that the house is later Hoffman's apartment.
He's just living there.
He just lives there. They had a home renovation show, I guess we never got around to seeing.
Ty Pennington came in and just extreme
You love it. Nerve houses. We made your whole house a nerve house. Like, just incredible. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
So, under Saw 4.
Mm-hmm.
Saw 2.
Yeah. And then I would say... Oh, Saw 6, we were relatively pleased with that one.
Saw 6, I think Saw 6 is extremely gripping because Saw 5, up until the end, wasn't really.
Yeah, Saw 5 is a major flop.
And I just think, like, right now you're feeling helpless is, like, an extremely good scene. We've talked about this before, but, like...
Yeah.
It's just so good that I think the movie is... I would put that above 4 to me.
You would put Saw 6 above Saw 4.
I think so. Oh my goodness gracious.
Sorry for the ambient noise. Interesting. Okay.
But I just for that scene, so I don't think that counts as like the whole film.
I think it counts for a lot though.
It does. It does.
Would you be comfortable putting them on the same level?
I would.
Because I really am a Saw 4 apologist.
I agree. I think they're sisters.
They are. They're spiritual. Yeah. Spiritually, they're sisters.
Yeah.
Saw 3, we gave 3 stars to. Kind of middle of the road. What even happens in Saw 3?
It's when they land.
Oh, Jeff. Fucking Jeff.
Jeff is hard to watch.
Yeah. Jeff is very hard to watch.
Jeff is hard to watch. Amanda and Lynn are very fun.
They're fun to watch.
So for that,
yeah, no, it's not like, I would say it's like middle of the, like middle tier.
Yeah, I agree.
It's not the worst by any means.
Yeah, but it's not, I'm going to compare every movie. It's no Saw 3D.
It's not. And that's important
to know. It never will be.
No. Okay. We already did Saw 4. Saw 5.
Oh. It's slow until the end. The end is really good, though.
What even happens at the end?
It's the glass coffin.
Oh, right. That's the only good part of that movie. Yeah,
and when he gets squished.
Rip.
In pieces, literally.
That man is dead.
And he took his hand for nefarious reasons.
Yes.
He's up to no good.
Suspect. But yeah, like, Saw 4 is... It's towards the bottom of the list, but that end scene does save it from being, like, bottom of the
barrel. And I feel like Saw 5 is then what makes Saw 6 better. It's because you're like, okay, that was kind of slow, but the end ramps it up. Then you go into Saw 6 and you're like, we're back!
We've never been so
but
back.
But, like, the beginning of Saw 5, we will have to place it
yeah,
closer to the bottom. It's not the worst.
No, but it's...
That will come.
Edging towards yeah. the bottom.
It's losing it a little bit.
Yeah. Jigsaw.
I feel like we're going to have differing opinions. For me, Jigsaw is also close to the bottom. I would put it with 5.
Yes.
I would put it lower, but I think that 5... On par with 5 was comfortable.
On par with 5.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Comfortable. Good work,
team. Good work. We did it. And then Spiral, I think, is the only one that we haven't ranked.
Spiral's bad.
Beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns. Like, very much beautiful gowns.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it has going for it only.
Yeah.
And I've just, like, I see so many people, like, on Twitter, like, talking about, like, guys, like, Spiral wasn't that bad. Like, it was. It was.
Yeah, I think maybe if it exists in a vacuum, and that's the only Saw movie you've ever seen, I could see thinking that it's not a bad movie. But when you're comparing it to the rest...
The cinematic universe.
...of the franchise, it just... It doesn't hold up.
No, it's... It's like a fine, like, standalone, like, thriller kind of stand-up comedy special thriller.
A very interesting mashup like, blend.
Never been done before. We'll give them that.
They did. They tried something new.
But it's the bottom for me.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely my least favorite.
It's just, it doesn't do it for me.
No.
And again, it's like with Jigsaw, where you're like, I don't know any of these people.
I don't know who them. Are I don't they? Care about them.
These are not my friends.
They're not our friends.
I don't know them.
And it, again, we've talked about this in previous episodes when we were covering these films, but it's like, Jigsaw and Spiral just don't even look like Saw movies.
No. They're different.
They're
just their own thing, and that's fine.
And that's fine.
But it's not, this is Saw.
Yeah.
We come to this place for Saw, and we did not receive it.
So...
For that reason, bottom of the barrel. Boo.
Boo.
Chris Rock, why? Why did you do that to us?
He was just trying something new.
I know. I feel bad for him because it's like he's such a huge, like, fan of and to just be the worst
I know. Of the franchise. I feel like just, like, the consensus is, like, this is the worst movie. And also, I feel like... The timing of the movie coming out didn't help their case because it came out, like, in the middle of the pandemic. Right. Like, it was supposed to get, like, a theatrical release, and then that got pushed because of the pandemic, and, like, I don't think it ever really got a widespread theatrical release.
It didn't.
And, I mean, like, it doesn't make up for the fact that it's, like, it's still not a good movie, but, you know.
It could have had its moment. Like, even the worst movies, like, horror movies especially, make it in the box office because people go... If you build it,
they will come. And I do feel like there's something to be said for seeing a horror movie on the big screen, in a theater, that group experience.
We're all jumping at the same time.
We're all laughing.
At Chris Rock's jokes.
We're all having a good time. And I feel badly that Spiral didn't get that.
It didn't get that. I agree.
The Book of Saw.
The Book of Saw continues.
Missed out on that.
Maybe they'll get him involved in another one that's better.
I hope so.
He'll just, like, appear in the next Saw as, like, a cop.
I hope that Chris Rock can get his redemption arc.
Yeah.
He deserves it. That.
We'll give him that. We'll give him that opportunity.
Yeah.
Are we ready for a few fun facts?
I do love a fun fact.
Let me see.
Or two.
Let me see where these fun facts are. So many little papers. My goodness.
So many papers.
So, we didn't talk about this when we got into Saw. But the first Saw was
2004.
They actually wrote the story in 2001 and made a short film of just the one scene.
Yes.
And they used it to shop around, and it eventually caught the eye of a small studio, which led to Twisted Pictures, Horror Division,
Twisted Pictures
picking it up and their commercial success, which is why they're now like a. You watch tons of horror movies that start with Twisted Pictures.
They are a juggernaut.
And it's all because of Saw. Say thank you, Saw.
Thank you, Saw.
Thank you, Saw.
And I feel like I shouldn't say everybody, I associate Twisted Pictures with Saw.
Yeah.
Like, anytime I see that production company at the beginning of a film. I'm like, oh,
the Saw.
The Saw
one. Then, you know, I love Saw. I'll love whatever this is.
Exactly.
And most of the time, correct.
They're onto something.
Correct. Another fun fact is that following the release of the first film, Lionsgate has put on the Saw blood drive every year leading up to the release of each new entry to the franchise, offering tickets to anyone who donates.
I think that is such an incredibly smart marketing campaign.
It's so good. And as of 2023, they have brought in over 100,000 pints of blood to the American Red Cross.
Like, how many lives have been saved because of Saw?
Because of Saw! Another fun fact related to that is the blood drive promotional poster, there were nurses for 2017 for Jigsaw, and they were all, like, LGBTQ plus icons, and one of them was Amanda Lepore.
Yes, oh my god! I remember that.
There's, like, a whole series. All the posters for Saw, that's another thing. The franchise loves a good poster.
They do.
And they, they're good. God,
they're good.
In 2010, Saw set the Guinness World Record for the most successful horror series. The record has since been overtaken by the Conjuring universe, but that's also James Wan.
James Wan, the
You've
man
they done
are.
It again.
Isn't Saw also, I don't have this in front of me as like a real fact, but I thought I saw something about this. Isn't it also like the highest grossing film, like horror film franchise?
I think that's like, they were connected.
Yeah.
I think it's also the Conjuring universe now, but it was like...
For like a time.
It was Saw, because they were pumping them out year after year. They took a break. They made Jigsaw, and then they went, oh, maybe not.
They made some mistakes.
And they learned. Also, this is a fun fact that made me laugh, and it's delightful to me, but Saw 3, the bathroom, like the dilapidated bathroom trap, had to be borrowed and redressed from the production of Scary Movie 4, which had created the set and modeled it after the bathroom trap in the first one.
Oh my god.
They did it so well, they borrowed
That's
and used
amazing.
It
from
Scary Movie.
Stop
Isn't
it.
Isn't that funny?
I love that.
Isn't that fun?
That is a very fun fact.
I enjoyed that fact.
Thank you for sharing.
Thank you. Would you like to share with us some fan theories culled from Reddit?
I would love to. So this first one comes from Reddit user DN Gay.
What did you call them?
Sugar Gay.
Sugar Gay.
And it's John's tumor is affecting his choices. So his tumor is on his frontal lobe, which affects behavior, judgment, and decision making. And this diagnosis impacted him in multiple ways, made him more appreciative of his own life and therefore more judging of how others squandered their own, gave him nothing to lose if he got caught, and impacted his decision-making enough for him to follow through.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. And this also bolsters my personal fan theory that the end of Saw is them going to be, they're going to realize that all of this was just like a crazy, like, brain cancer hallucination that John was having, and he didn't actually do any of this.
He's gonna be like, it's gonna be like the eye vacuum trap, where he's gonna be like, wouldn't that be funny if I did that?
Yes.
But I didn't. I'm a kind old man.
I just think that would be like a really like frustrating but funny way to wrap this all up by none of it being real.
No, he's like, oh, whoops.
He just was imagining it because he has a brain tumor.
Yeah.
This next one comes from Reddit user Help I'm Awake.
Felt.
Yeah, no, I
felt that.
I relate to that. Yeah. And it's Erickson and Perez already suspected Hoffman before Saw 4. IV is 4.
Yeah.
One of these days I'll master Roman numerals. So Strom seems new to the investigation, but Erickson and Perez both knew him as perceptive and committed enough to help them peg Hoffman.
They're trying to peg Hoffman?
Without sharing their direct suspicion of him. A lot of Erickson and Perez's dialogue in Saw 6 seems to simultaneously string Hoffman along and needle him. The one thing they didn't count on was Hoffman being crazy and desperate enough for the move he pulls in the voice analysis scene.
Yeah. Right now, he's feeling helpless. I know we've talked about it so much, but there's something that is so deeply funny to me about him, like, putting, like, holding his cup, picking it up, And then them saying something and him going, no, I do, I'll need this to throw in their face.
Yeah.
Like, he's like,
he puts it down, and then he's like, oh,
I'm gonna need this.
On second thought. The Gibson flashback in Saw 3D also suggests Hoffman had known, sorry, no, also suggests Hoffman had a known violent and murderous streak.
Yeah, because he just gunned down the Kung Fu master homeless man.
Even though he had stopped.
And that could have possibly been a red flag to the police, although...
I mean, I think he'd fit right in.
Would a violent streak be a red flag?
To a cop? I don't know.
Who's to say?
It's not a prerequisite to the job.
Not me. I'm certainly not going to comment on
that. No, no comments.
And then, along with that, could Hoffman have been responsible for the technicality that got Seth released? Seth is, of course, the guy who killed his sister, Angelina. Considering how strategic he is and saw 5, 6, and 3D, he could have figured out a way to get Seth out of prison just to kill him himself.
That's very interesting. The Seth of it all.
Right?
Because that does make sense.
It tracks.
Something to consider.
He wanted to get revenge on the guy that killed his sister, and he was going to find a way to do it.
And he put him in that pendulum.
The pendulum trap. Absolutely. This one comes from Lichen Stars, which is John already knew Amanda's secret. John knew that Amanda was there when Jill was injured and then subsequently lost the baby, had a miscarriage, Gideon. And John's last test for her was for her to learn to forgive herself and for him to give her some sense of closure before his death.
That does feel like something that would be real.
Yeah, I think John knew.
Because, like, John knows everyone who's involved in all of it.
Yeah. He doesn't forget a bitch.
He doesn't, and we know this. We've learned this.
We know this to be true.
Several films we've come to that conclusion, so it would make sense if he knew the whole time.
I think he did.
I think you're right.
This one is from Reddit user Glad Employer Always. Slay. And it's Logan Nelson and William Shank are working with Gordon. This one was very compelling to me.
Yeah.
So at the end of Saw 3D, Gordon is joined by two guys in pig masks after Hoffman's escape, and then the scene cuts, and you're like, who are those two guys
How
in pig masks?
How did they wrangle Hoffman?
Right? And then the next scene was Hoffman back in the OG bathroom chap from all the way back in the first Saw movie. So what if it's Logan and William that helped Gordon wrangle Hoffman?
It makes sense. It just makes sense.
This was, like, a very long theory. There was, like, a lot of other information, but I was like, this is too much.
This is the gist.
This is the gist of it. But, like, some compelling arguments to be made because, like, Logan worked in the hospital. Gordon worked in the hospital. Logan's the one who mixed up the x-rays that then led to Gordon misdiagnosing John's cancer. I'm just saying.
They know each other. It all makes sense.
Like, their web connects them
all. I was about to say.
You know?
His web connects them all.
So, could be. This is a fun one. I feel like this theory has been thrown around before. This is from Blood Scourge. and it's that Kevin McAllister grew up to become Jigsaw.
I love it so much.
So, Kevin McAllister from the Home Alone films. Yeah. Kevin McAllister is the subject of ridicule and bullying in his household from his cousins. He is left alone not once, but twice by his family.
Mm-hmm. That will take a toll.
That, I think, does some psychological damage to a kid, I'm sure. After the first time, his mother and father and family are all glad to see him, and they apologize, etc. But then they lose him again only a year or so later in New York, no less. It is at this moment
of all places
that Kevin comes to believe that humanity is, at its base, corrupt, and that no one, not even his own mother, can truly be trusted to be good. And then Kevin's expertise in setting up death traps with a wide array of materials quickly, and in a myriad of places becomes both his modus operandi and his signature as the Jigsaw Killer.
It makes sense. Like, timeline-wise, no, doesn't make sense. But also, has any timeline made sense in the Saw franchise?
No, and I think that's important to note, is that timelines, you can throw those out the window.
Time doesn't exist. Not here.
Not
Not here.
Not here, not now. What we have in Home Alone and Home Alone 2 is the descent of a troubled but kind-hearted kid into psychopathy and violence.
That's Jigsaw.
The young man known as Kevin McAllister makes it his personal mission to torture or punish people for their transgressions, as he did with the Wet Bandits in Home Alone 2, thus becoming the Jigsaw Killer.
It makes sense!
I think it's a very compelling theory.
I'm compelled. Look, hey, look. I'm compelled.
I'll say it. Color me compelled.
I'm doing it right now.
I'm being colored in.
And it's compelled.
I do think it's a very fun theory.
It is fun.
Like you said, timeline, maybe it doesn't add up, but I don't care.
No, throw it away.
I don't need a timeline that makes sense. I just think, like,
there's Kevin too much evidence.
The Kevin McAllister to John Kramer pipeline
is real.
It's real.
It's real.
And more people need to be talking about that.
Because the traps were there. How did he know? It's always been there. Tape recorders, also a big part.
Exactly.
He loves those.
Loves the tape
both
recorder.
Both Jigsaw and Kevin. They love a tape recorder.
I'm just saying there's a lot of consistencies.
It started in youth.
It always does. And then last but certainly not least, this one is from Fabricator General, and it's Media Exposure Saves Lives. So by Saw 7, there are enough Jigsaw survivors to warrant a support group and push a book to the bestseller list.
Survive. Survive.
The more the public hears about the murders, the numbers of survivors increase, their stories are constantly told and retold to national news outlets. This leads to it attaining a state of almost normality, and the mindset is that I must play the game, I have to maim myself physically or mentally in order to survive. So people go into the game knowing that they have to play to win, they can't just be a spectator, and they participate, and that's why they survive. And so ultimately, Bobby Dagan was a hero.
Yeah, he shouldn't have been put in a trap because he actually saved lives.
He saved
he
lives.
He may have lied, sure. But did he ultimately save lives?
Real lies save lives.
Real lives, real lives, real lies save lives. Lives.
And real fans save fans. And real bands save fans.
And we have always said that. Okay, so as we did our episodes, as we went through each film, we commented on comparing the characters to Succession, and then later on, comparing them to Muppets. And so, this has been something brewing within us.
Mm-hmm. Brewing and
stewing for some time. So, we're gonna walk you through... Mm-hmm. Who is who in Saw and Succession and the Muppets as Saw? Logan, would you like to begin with your Succession?
I would love you to start.
You want me to start?
I just did so much speaking with
the
fan theories.
Okay.
I would really love you to get into it with your Muppets.
I absolutely can. I need to consult my phone.
Absolutely.
For pictures so you know the Muppets.
And just for the listeners who may not know Zoe personally, she is... a Muppet connoisseur.
I love the Muppets, and I would die for them.
And that's really all you need to know. She is an expert. This is her area of expertise.
It is. One thing about me, Muppets.
I would say it's a special interest of yours.
I would say. And if you're going, you're right. We're not even going to get into that more than just...
But you're right.
You're right.
Whatever you're thinking,
you're right. So, some of these visual... Some of these vibes alone.
Sure.
Some of them are just inherent knowledge of Muppets.
I get it.
And I just need you to follow me on this journey.
Okay.
Starting with John Kramer. Mm-hmm. I believe that if this was in true Muppet movie fashion, he would be the only human actor.
Love that.
Tobin Bell is the only human in this.
I would love to see Tobin Bell act alongside...
Amongst puppets.
The puppety Muppets.
The puppety Muppets. But, if I had to pick someone, there's a Muppet called Dr. Julius Strange Pork.
What a name.
And he is a wacky scientist. I have a picture.
Okay.
I have a picture. He's a wacky scientist character, which just feels right.
Yeah.
He's also a pig and an old man. And I just feel like huge pig motif. It fits. And there we go. There's Dr. Julius Strange Pork.
Oh.
We will put post this on Instagram.
We absolutely will, because that is uncanny.
That's Tobin Bell. Yeah. Put him in that little black and red robe. Have him sitting across from Donnie Wahlberg. Call it a day. Oh my god.
That's phenomenal.
That's him.
What's his name? Dr. Strange.
Julius Strange Pork.
Spectacular.
Okay. Next.
Already 10 out of 10.
Next, Jill Tuck. Mm. Jill Tuck is Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
It's just obvious pig element, drawing the pigs in, as we do.
Just like a cunty pig.
And that's it. They have the same haircut. They're both blonde. They're both cuntresses.
Yeah.
Visually, they're the same. Mm-hmm. Also, Miss Piggy's, like, bio is just don't get her angry, for she has a pink belt in Pigwondo. And I just feel like Jill Tuck is very, like, don't get her angry, because mm-hmm. she's going to put you in a reverse bear trap.
Yeah, that's kind of her thing.
That's the same energy. Mm-hmm. And now I will show you a visual.
Okay, well, I do know what Miss Piggy looks like, but I mean, that's... Literally, it's the uncanny. Same person.
It's uncanny.
It's the same person.
They're the same. Next, this one was hard. Mm. This is Amanda.
Ooh.
I also think it would be kind of fun if Amanda was the only human actor.
That would be funny.
If we are giving Dr. Julius Strange Pork to Tobin Bell, then Amanda could be the only human.
Yeah, Shawnee Smith, let's get her in there.
But if I had to pick... Mm. She would be Pepe the King Prawn. Pepe the King Prawn. He's described as scheming and sassy.
Oh, that's Amanda for sure.
Feels right. He's also a fashion icon, so I think mm-hmm. that following all the films,
yeah.
her hair, he could really work with that.
Yeah.
And I will show you now.
I was going to say, I don't know this one.
You know Pepe. You'll go, oh.
Oh, I didn't know that was his name.
Pepe the King Prawn. There he is.
A shrimp?
He's a king prawn. What he'd be very offended. What? He's a shrimp.
Okay.
He's a prawn.
He's got fuck-ass hair she does.
And look, stringy hair. They're the same.
I like that.
They have the same color hoodie on.
That's incredible.
Next.
Excellent work.
Adam Stanhite. He would be Rizzo the Rat.
Yes, you would.
You cannot tell me otherwise. You look at that man, throw him in a white t-shirt, put a little cigarette in his rat hand. That is Adam. You can't tell me it's not.
Oh my
also,
God.
Rizzo is described as a sly and witty rat from the inner city who has a kind of sarcastic New York City vibe. That's Adam.
Literally Adam.
Also, I'm going to show you a picture. Your mind's going to be blown.
My mind is already blown. Like, that's him.
Lee Winnell.
Lee Winnell.
That's him. Rizzo the Rat.
It's uncanny.
It's uncanny.
I can't. Next. He's just keep getting better and better.
Next. Dr. Lawrence Gordon.
Logo.
Stay with me.
Okay.
He's Ralph the dog.
I don't know who that is.
He's a dog.
What?
He's a piano-playing Muppet dog who is easygoing, loyal, and loves classical music.
Oh, that's
He's
Lawrence.
He's gay. He loves classical music. That just feels right.
Yeah.
Also, I feel like Ralph the dog has, like, an incredible capacity for darkness behind his eyes.
Oh, okay.
There's something there.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, and Dr. Gordon clearly does.
We know that to be true.
Alternately, he could also be Gonzo. Because Rizzo and Gonzo are together and we're always going to be chain shippers.
Yeah.
And so that has
to... Until the day we die.
That stands. Also, Gonzo would rock a cute little cane.
Oh, for sure.
And I feel like that pays
off.
He
would love a jaunty cane.
Let me show you these guys. And there's Ralph as
a
surgeon.
Oh, I know that dog.
I know that dog anywhere.
Oh my god.
That's Ralph.
As a surgeon.
As a surgeon.
Oh my god. Spectacular.
Spectacular.
Okay, like Muppets remake of Saw When?
When? There was actually like a video that someone made where it's like they had Miss Piggy like in a Saw thing.
Oh yeah.
Like.
I remember that.
I don't remember what it was for, but continue with it. Go build upon that.
Yeah, get on it.
Next. Special Agent Peter Strom and Detective Mark Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Are... Statler and Waldorf.
Sure.
There's no arguing it
sure.
in my mind.
Yeah.
Two elderly and grumpy gentlemen who constantly heckle the Muppets from the audience is how they're described. Grumpy old men.
That's them.
They're old men.
You also can't tell me that Statler and Waldorf haven't explored each other's bodies.
They're gay.
And Hofstrom.
Gay.
Also, they first appeared in the Muppet Show Sex and Violence, which was like the first pilot or the second pilot of the Muppets.
What?
Sex and Violence.
That's what Hofstrom loves.
And that's them. Like,
that's so incredible.
Let me show you. You know them.
I know them. I love them.
There you go.
That's literally them.
But wait, there's more. If you had to separate Hofstrom, but why would you? But if you had to.
Sure.
Strom is Sam Eagle. Sam Eagle is the hard-nosed censor of the Muppets and the group's self-proclaimed delegator of disciplines, manners, and values. And he was described when they made the puppet as a cross between Uncle Sam and the Bald Eagle with a dash of Richard Nixon.
Oh, I know who this is.
Who represents a conservative nationalist puritanism that makes him a snob and a prude.
Yeah, that tracks.
That's him.
That tracks.
And now, this is the one that killed me the most visually.
Yeah. It's the same person.
That's them.
That's
him.
You're showing me this.
That's why are you showing me two of the same picture? Same picture.
Corporate wants you to pick the difference between these two photos.
They're the same
photo.
Okay, and then finally, the Muppet to end them all with. If we had to separate Hoffman.
Yeah.
He would be Bobo the Bear. Bobo the Bear is an imposing, yet easily amused and befuddled brown bear. Bobo is described as a large bear Muppet who usually plays the role of a bumbling henchman.
Hello?
Hello?
That's there's literally also, just describing Hoffman.
There's a... Why can't I think of the puppet's name now? Uncle... It's a scary-looking, like, dragon Muppet.
Okay.
There's, like, a movie where he's, like... He doesn't realize that they're the bad... He's like, wait, am I working for the bad guy? And that feels very Hoffman.
That is literally...
And then let me show you, finally.
Oh, my God.
He has a little cop outfit on.
That's literally Mark Hoffman. These are you did such excellent work with your Muppets.
Those are my Muppets, and I just feel like it's right.
I don't think anything's actually been more right ever in the history of the world.
That's them.
Okay, Jim Henson Company?
Call us.
Give Zoe a call because...
We're ready.
We've got your next endeavor sorted.
Lined up.
Just saying.
You just can't argue that Adam is Rizzo. You just can't.
No, that's incredible.
You could replace him in the movie and it would
You would notice. Yeah, exactly.
Like, you would just be like, oh, Adam, you look great.
Yeah.
Just put, instead of a skeleton in the next movie, just put Rizzo. Just leaning against the pipe.
Please. Please. Get some Muppets in the mix.
Please. That's all we're saying.
Just saying.
Are you ready to succession it up? Saw section. Section.
Saw section.
Saw session. Saw session.
Yeah, I am. This idea came to me very early on when we were rewatching these movies.
And it led us to so much.
It led us to so much. So I have managed to attribute John and his various apprentices and accomplices two succession characters. I don't have visual aids, so if you wanna... I feel like you know what a lot of the succession characters look like. You can always do a quick Google on your phone if you're not sure.
I'm curious.
So starting with John Kramer, obviously he's Logan Roy.
Yeah.
He's the big guy in charge. He's daddy. He's the one that all these kids want to kiss from.
Yeah.
They want to be daddy's number one.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Also, just like an older white guy.
With a company.
with a company. Exactly.
He's an architect. He's a civil engineer.
And a petty king. John Kramer is Logan Roy.
Yeah.
Then, on Succession, we have Jerry Kelman, who is kind of like, not quite like a right-hand man / right-hand woman, but like, you could argue that she's a lot of the brains behind the operation. She's like a lawyer. She's very smart. She's mother. And she's Jill Tuck. Jill Tuck is Jerry. Jerry's yes. Jill.
Yeah.
Again, just like an older blonde woman who's just kind of like pulling a lot of the strings and has more power than people want to admit, and looking great while doing it. Okay. Now we're getting in to the Roy children. So Connor Roy, played by Alan Ruck on Succession, he would be Dr. Lawrence Gordon. Because here's the thing. Like, Connor is on Succession. He's like, he's the oldest boy. Not that Kendall will ever admit that, but he's like the oldest boy. He's kind of forgotten about. Yeah. He's like, people don't take him seriously because he's like, I'm going to be president. And it's like, sure, Connor, you go do that. You have fun.
Do that. But then, like, when push comes to shove and you get to the end of the show, you realize that, like, Connor kind of ended up winning. Like, he didn't win because none of them did, but, like,
he's separated from it.
Walked away and kind of had the best life set up at that point. Like, he was married to Willa. Like, he was going to be okay. And also, they're all, like, generationally wealthy. He'll be fine. And I feel like the same can be said for Lawrence, where it's like, you see him in the first movie, and you're like, you're kind of a loser. Like, you just lost your foot.
Yeah, his foot's gone.
You know, like, you're screwed. And then he just disappears. And you're like, okay, well, enough about that, I guess. And then he shows up at the end of, what, Saw 3D? And you realize that, like, he's actually been, like, the big old mastermind this whole time.
It's great.
I don't know. That's him. I'm kind of here for it.
That's him. He walked away with one less foot, and that's it.
And that's it. It's exactly it. Like, he took an L, but ultimately, he's still alive.
And he won. He didn't get put in a reverse bear trap.
No, he didn't.
Or locked in the bathroom again.
Exactly. Speaking of reverse bear trap, Mark Hoffman would be Kendall Roy.
Little freak.
He would be Kendall. Because Kendall... He's
crying in the ocean.
Kendall so desperately just... He wants to be his father's favorite. And he's just so depressed that he won't be.
And he's, like, too much of, like, a bumbling kind of mistake maker.
He's so bumbling, he actually can't do anything right.
Yeah.
And it's to his detriment every time. But he thinks he has these, like, brilliant ideas. But he doesn't.
No.
He doesn't at all. He would be nothing without his father. And I just kind of feel like that's Hoffman.
That's, like, to a T.
Like, I just... He'll never be great.
He'll just be fine.
He'll just be fine, but he's not okay with that.
No.
And then, no surprise, Shiv would be Amanda. Because, you know, she's the only other girl. And, again, she kind of thinks that, like, you know, like, she'll, like, tolerate the boys. But then she's like, I'm really the top dog here. And it's like, but aren't you? Because you're also kind of an idiot.
Yeah, and you end up getting shot in the neck. So,
right? Because, like, I just, like, Shiv is just kind of, like, she's, like, a girl boss, but also, like, a girl flop. And I feel like that's kind of Amanda.
Yeah, it is.
It's, like, I love you, queen, and, like, I stan, but also...
But also, can we, like, think it through?
Like, just a little.
Just a smidgen.
Like, and also, like... Shiv is kind of known for, like, her fuck-ass bob, and then Amanda's obviously known for her fuck-ass Monchichi hair, so I feel like they can relate on that level of having, like, some wild hair.
And I think that's, like, enough to relate to someone. It's just being, like, Monchichi recognizes Monchichi.
Exactly.
Move on.
Roman Roy would be William Shank from Spiral from the Book of Saw. Partly just because I was running out of apprentices and I wanted to, like, attribute somebody to Roman. But also I feel like it kind of tracks because, like, Roman is, like, kind of a little freak and, like, low-key, you're like, is he gay? Like, I don't know. And I feel like you kind of get those vibes from William. You're like...
He did a little sassy shh. You know? Feels like a little freak thing to do.
And there's just, like, there's something... There's something going on there, and I feel like he's kind of got the, like, the zest that Roman
for
has.
Life.
Yeah. You know? There's, I don't know.
There's something there.
And then, last but not least, this might be my favorite, the only other apprentice that we're not including is Logan Nelson.
Yes, he speaks for the dead.
And if I had to compare him to a Succession character, I would compare him to Cousin Greg.
And he's here.
Because, you know, like,
Cousin Greg never had a chance. Yeah. Like, he was never really in the running.
No.
To becoming America's Next Top Model.
But God, was he gonna be there.
But he was gonna be there, and he was certainly trying, and I feel like that's Logan's game.
Yeah. He's like, is this anything? I speak for the dead.
And it's like, shut up.
It's like, no, 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 it's not. Hey, it's not.
It's not. And I feel like, especially, like, early seasons Cousin Greg, like, he kind of gets forgotten about by a lot of the family, and, like, they, like, call him by the wrong name sometimes. And I just feel like, it's kind of like, people forget about Logan.
Yeah.
Because who is he?
He speaks for the dead, I'll tell you that much.
Famously. So those are my...
That was so beautiful.
Succession...
And I knew everyone. Mashup.
I love that. I'm glad.
And I understood.
Yay! I was going primarily on vibes.
I think it fits, though, like, 100%. Based on what I know of the show.
I think so. I think there's truth to what I said.
I think there is. Like, a whole lot of it, actually. Logan had a wonderful idea. We are... big fans of a podcast called Scary Stories to Tell on the Pod. And there was a summer... It started off as, like, a podcast to talk about the Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark books. And it's kind of, like, grown and evolved into, like... They talk about cryptids, they talk about ghosts, just, like, general spooky things. But they had a whole summer where they covered movies by Stephen Sommers. And they called Summer of Summers or Stephen Sommers Summer. And they talked about, like, Van Helsing and The Mummy and all of those wonderful films. Mm-hmm. And in each film, they did a segment called Things That Are Gay. And we just thought, like, considering that Saw is, like, the gayest franchise alive, potentially, we could run through some of the things in these films that are gay in the style of Anna Dresden and Andrew Farmer. Hilarious people.
Famously funny people.
Famously funny people.
Friends of the pod.
To in us. In our hearts minds. And minds. So we're just gonna back and forth some things that we thought were gay about this film.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start? Do you want to start?
You should start because I think you have more.
Okay. Telling a man you just met in a bathroom not to leave you because you need him. That's gay. That's gay. Just saying, tenderly holding his face.
Caressing his face.
Don't leave me, I need you.
I need you. Okay. Kind of in that same vein, I would say, you, a woman, asking another woman, are you going to behave?
That's gay. That's gay. Same movie, going off of that, wanting to kiss a girl so badly your head explodes. That's gay. That's gay. Her head exploded.
Exploded. Okay, just having a flair for the dramatic.
That's gay. Putting a little bit of theater into everything that you do. That's gay. Okay, Detective Lieutenant Mark Hoffman. That's gay. That's mine.
Okay, this relating to that. Playing a game of cat and mouse with a caked up himbo?
That's gay. That's gay. That's gay. He is caked up.
And Strom's just...
He's just chasing him.
Chasing him around.
With big old pouty lips, too. Okay.
I don't know. That sounds kind of gay to me.
Sounds gay. Okay. Your biggest ally and your biggest enemy being a busty blonde woman. That's gay. That's gay.
That is gay.
Mark Hoffman.
Undoubtedly.
Do you want to be her or do you want to kill her? I can't tell.
It's a fine line.
It's a fine line.
I get it. Okay, and then last but not least for myself, bedazzling a pair of red pumps for a puppet.
I have, that was one of mine, having a secret layer where you bedazzle the shoes of a cunty little puppet. And then, asterisk as well, on top of that, being a puppet. That's gay.
That's gay. That's gay. Actually probably the gayest thing that's you could gay. Be.
And then finally is every trap you make involving some type of leather harness.
That's gay.
That's gay. Saw? The franchise? That's gay. The moment has come, Logan. We have decided that we're now an award show.
Yeah.
And we've given ourselves some categories to work with that we will take to other seasons of this here pod.
We'll carry this forward.
But we're gonna run through our awards, our categories, the nominees, and we're gonna decide who the winner is.
We're gonna pick some winners.
So, should we start? Do you wanna like explain the first one?
Absolutely. So, our first award is the Biggest Flop Loser Award for Worst Character.
Yeah.
And this award is presented to the worst character of the season, the character that annoyed us the most and who consistently made the dumbest decisions.
And boy, are there a lot of those. Boy, are there. The season one nominees are Addison Corday, Saw 2, Jeff Denlin, Saw 3, Detective Eric Matthews, Saw 2, 3, and 4, Bobby Dagan, Saw 3D, Officer Matt Gibson, Saw 3D, and Detective Zeke Banks, Spiral, from the Book of Saw. This is a hard one, because there's so many characters who are dumb losers.
There are so many, and I feel like this was the first category that we came up with back when we decided that we were going to do this award show.
Yeah.
And it was made specifically for Jeff.
Yeah.
Like, initially, this was going to be his award. But I feel like there is a really compelling argument to be made for Eric Matthews, just based on how many Saw films he was in.
And also, Bobby Dagan, in that, much like Jeff, no one survived. No one survived his game.
Yeah.
And his, I will say, not to stick up for Jeff, but his were pretty simple to get people out of.
Absolutely.
Just cover her mouth so she's not screaming.
Yeah.
You, like, he did not, throwing the key to his friend, poor Kale, never stood a chance.
Without being like, okay, I'm throwing
you
the key. He just, his friend's blindfolded.
Yeah. He's like, being mindful of the fact that you're blindfolded, catch. Like, but I think that ultimately, it has to go to Jeff.
I feel like, you know, he was first pick.
Yeah.
And this award is for him.
I'm going to get a highlighter so that we can keep track of our wins briefly. Please hold. Enjoy the silence.
Jingling.
It's the binder clips.
That makes sense.
Okay. Are we going with Jeff?
I think final answer is Jeff.
Jeff. The congratulations.
Award for Biggest Flop Loser goes to Jeff Denlin.
Yay! Jeff, you did it! King!
Congratulations,
King.
Sir.
King!
Our next award is presented to the couple we loved the most. Mm-hmm. Couple is open to interpretation, but who did we want to kiss the most? And who, upon kissing, would have changed the course of the film and perhaps saved lives? Yeah. And this is the Now Kiss Award for Best On-Screen Couple.
The nominees, Adam Stanheit and Dr. Lawrence Gordon, Saw, Detective Daniel Rigg and Detective Allison Carey, Saw 2, Amanda Young and Dr. Lynn Denlin, Saw 3, Detective Mark Hoffman and Special Agent Peter Strom, Saw 5, Special Agent Dan Erickson and Special Agent Dan Erickson's Bluetooth headset, Saw 5. And Jill Tuck and Pamela Jenkins, Saw 6. Now Kiss.
Now Kiss.
There's just so many.
It's so hard to pick in this category. They're just all outstanding choices.
It's just like, it's so difficult.
You know, it's an honor for any of them to be nominated.
With the likes of each other.
You know.
It's a dream come true.
Exactly.
I feel like looking at this, the one that could have saved the most lives, I think, is Amanda and Lynn.
Yeah.
Because that whole fiasco at the end could have been avoided.
And it really was a fiasco.
And it was a fiasco.
And then to also, like, answer the question, who did we want to see kiss the most? I want to see them kiss.
They had a chemistry that was undeniable.
Are you going to behave?
Like, what?
Okay, it didn't need to get that hot in there.
But it was. And meanwhile, John's, like, dying on the table behind them, and they're, like, flirting.
Okay, right?
Have the some decorum.
Undeniable chemistry in front of a dying man.
That's gay.
That's gay.
I think the award goes to them.
The Now Kiss Award for Best On-Screen Couple goes to Amanda Young and Dr. Lynn Denlin.
Great work.
Excellent.
Great work, team.
Thank you so much.
Claps.
Go lesbians.
Go lesbians.
The It's Not You, It's Me Award for Worst On-Screen Couple. This award is presented to the couple who we liked the least. Yeah. Maybe there was no chemistry. Maybe there was too much chemistry. Either way, they are now the anti-now kiss duo.
Yeah. We're like, don't ever go near each other, actually. So, we have the nominees for season one. Dr. Lawrence Gordon and his foot, Saw. Dr. Lynn Denlin and Jeff Denlin, Saw 3. Detective Eric Matthews and Blocks of Ice, Saw 4. Jill Tuck and John Kramer, Overall. Detective Mark Hoffman and Leather Harnesses, Overall. Much to consider.
There's a lot to consider. You know, the Blocks of Ice did kill Eric Matthews.
They got him. They got his ass.
They got his ass. And, you know, that's a pretty bad couple. I would say there's no chemistry. Or maybe there's too much chemistry there.
I think there's too much chemistry there.
Because, you know,
the Blocks of Ice wanted to kiss him too badly.
Too badly.
They just smushed his whole head.
You're absolutely right. Oh, God.
I'm torn. I'm actually torn between Jill Tuck and John Kramer.
Yeah.
And Lynn and Jeff.
Yes.
Because I just feel like we're introduced to Jill so randomly, and it's like, look, see, their chemistry? It's like, I don't.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't.
But also, Jeff.
Well, and speaking of people who had no chemistry,
yeah.
I mean, first of all, she's cheating on him.
Yeah.
And then also having an affair.
Right? And I feel like because we wanted Lynn to kiss Amanda, that they are the anti-now kiss.
Yeah. Like, Jeff is standing in her way of being with Amanda.
Yeah. I think we have to give it to them. So
okay.
The It's Not Me, It's You award for worst on-screen couple, it's going to Dr. Lynn Denlin and Jeff. And Jeff. He's just Jeff. That's his whole thing.
The next category is the Bad Girls Club Award for Best Baddie. This award is presented to the best baddie of the season, the bad guy who made us want to root for the wrong team.
Or the right team,
depending on how you look at it.
Season one nominees, John Kramer, Overall. Cecilia Peterson, Saw X, 2023. Amanda Young, Overall. Detective Mark Hoffman, Overall. And Dr. Lawrence Gordon, Overall.
Wow, another star-studded lineup.
It really
of
is.
Nominees.
It really is.
It's hard to pick a winner. They all brought something unique to the table.
Did, certainly. Serving uniqueness.
Charisma, uniqueness, nerve,
and
talent. I personally, my personal opinion, I've got to go with John.
It's John.
I think Cecilia is a great baddie, but I am not rooting for her.
No. No.
And I feel like that has to be a key point.
Yeah. And I agree. I just think the second you're introduced to Jigsaw as a bad guy, you're like, oh, yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, that's him.
Yep, that's him.
He's a winner, baby.
You're a champion. Champion.
Greatest of them all. You're a champion. Da, 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 da. Congratulations on your award, John.
Congratulations. You are the winner
of this week's challenge.
The next award is the Whose Line Is It Anyway Award for Best Line Delivery. This award is presented to the best line delivery of the season, the line that wormed its way into our hearts and our everyday speech.
So many did.
Ultimately, this award goes to the line that truly transcended acting choices. What? I can't read.
It's fine.
Ultimately, this award goes to the line that truly transcendent acting choices were made with.
Transcendent. It did transcend.
It did transcend.
Season one nominees. I did not cheat on her!
Dr. Lawrence Gordon.
Do you know anything about the Chinese zodiac? Jill Tuck. On a gurney with a hole in my throat.
Special Agent Peter Strom.
Piranha.
Piranha.
John Kramer. And did you? Detective Mark Hoffman. You're crazy. I knew you were crazy the minute I laid eyes on you. Crazy. Okay, this is what we're gonna do, crazy. Detective Matt Gibson. I speak for the dead. Logan Nelson.
And also Logan Smith.
Logan Smith. And finally, epic bad luck, Mark Hoffman.
Oh my god. Just, how do you pick just
you
one?
You just...
They're all winners in my heart.
They're so good.
Piranha.
I think it might be Piranha.
I just feel like... First of all, the amount of times Logan and I have said to each other Piranha unprompted of anything is just, I feel like that alone is a reason for it to win.
Yeah.
But then also, on a gurney with a hole in my throat is up there. These are all just like the best of the best.
It is.
But I think we're aligned in presenting the Whose Line Is It Anyway award to Piranha. John Kramer, you've done it again.
You've done it again.
Piranha.
Piranha.
It's just so out of nowhere.
It's out of nowhere. There's no explanation for why he said piranha like that. And it's never brought up again.
It's never brought up again. And it's also based on William Easton's reaction, as if it's not the first time John has been in that office talking about piranhas.
Yeah.
He goes, piranha. And he goes, John.
Like, he's exacerbated.
Like, he's heard that already.
Yeah.
Perhaps even the day before.
Perhaps.
Oh. Next. Next category.
The next award is the That's Gotta Hurt Award for Best Kill / Death. This award is presented to the gnarliest death or kill of the season.
So, season one nominees are Timothy Young, Cause of Death, Twisted to Death, On the Rack, Saw 3. Mm-hmm. William Easton, Cause of Death, Dissolved from the Inside Out by Acid in William's Trial / The Acid Room in Saw 6. Joyce Dakin, Cause of Death, Roasted Alive in the Brazen Bull, Saw 3D. The Skinheads, Cause of Death, Crushed, Jaw and Arms Ripped Off, Hit, Thrown from the Window of the Horsepower Trap, Saw 3D. And finally, Detective Brad Halloran, Cause of Death, Head Sliced Like a Terry's Chocolate Orange in the Laser Collars in Jigsaw.
Oh my god.
It's hard to say.
It's hard to say. I think the gnarliest one out of these is William Easton being dissolved from the inside out by acid.
I think it's gnarly on so many levels, because first of all, it's like gross to look at this man turning into goo.
Yeah.
A goo. Slime and sludge before our eyes. But also it's just like, that kid just made the choice.
Right.
He said, you're dying.
He said, live or die, make your choice.
I will. I'm going to watch you dissolve. What happened to them also?
He said, I will not hesitate. Bitch.
Where did they go? What was the rest of their life like?
I feel like I want follow-up on some of these characters.
Like, who let them out?
Who let the dogs out?
Who? William Easton, you are the winner of the That's Gotta Hurt Award.
Congratulations.
For best kill.
I hope it made being dissolved by acid from the inside out worth it.
And I think to us it was.
I think so. Okay, this is the Live or Die Award for Best Trap. This is obviously a season-specific award. Every season we will have a season-specific award. And for this season, this award is presented to the best trap of the Saw franchise. Which trap is the coolest, most thought out, or the worst way to go?
Or all of them.
All of the above.
All of the above. Season 1 nominees are The Reverse Bear Trap, Saw, Saw 6, and Saw 3D. Mm. The Needle Pit, Saw 2. The Water Cube, Saw 5.
The Glass Coffin, Saw 5. The Shotgun Carousel, Saw 6. The Hot Wax Trap, Spiral. And The Bone Marrow Trap, Saw X.
Oh my goodness.
First of all, I just think the reverse bear trap, so fun that it's like a franchise staple. We see it so many times.
Yeah.
And we see it actually work eventually. It's teased so many times.
It is.
And then when it goes off, gnarly.
They were really edging us with that.
Yeah, and it paid off.
Big payoff.
Big payoff. But then, the bone marrow trap, I think, is the one that I think about the most.
That one has stuck with me for sure.
And then also, the shotgun carousel is just cool.
It is a very cool trap.
It's
just
a really cool one.
If we were going strictly for, like, cool vibes, that would be the winner. Mm-hmm. I think a point could be made for the hot wax trap.
God, having to sever your spine.
While hot wax is waterboarding you, essentially. Yeah. That one's pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Ooh. Also, again, it must be said, all of these great band names.
Yeah.
Like, we're the reverse bear trap.
We're Shotgun Carousel.
Shotgun Carousel is our band name.
Yeah.
We're gonna stop podcasting. We're gonna start a band.
Yeah.
I feel like my vote is bone marrow.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I think it is. It's just so off-putting.
It's horrible. And it's, like, bad enough to have to cut your leg off with the saw.
Mm-hmm.
But then to suction bone marrow out, that's what brings it to the next level of being disgusting.
If it was just cutting your leg off, it would be like, okay.
We've seen this.
We've seen it a million times before. But it's, the added,
having to see the jelly come out of her onto the scale, and then it not even pay off and get her head chopped off.
Gets decapitated anyway.
It is the best one.
It's the
most recent, which is very interesting.
I know. The most recent, but then also, like, kind of one of the first.
Yeah.
If we're going in chronological
timeline
order.
Once again, timeline don't make sense.
And that's why we love it so much. Next, we have the Slay Queen Yes Mama Girl Boss Award for Best Final Girl, presented by Dove.
Presented legally.
Legally not presented by Dove. As with couples, who counts as a final girl is open for interpretation. Who was the survivor of the season we loved the most?
Yeah. Who was the best to us?
To us.
It's the anti biggest flop loser award.
Yeah.
This is who's not flopping. Season 1 nominees: Dr. Lawrence Gordon, Saw. Simone, Saw 6. John Kramer, Saw X. Amanda Young, Overall. Billy the Puppet, Overall.
Billy is the ultimate final girl.
He is. He's made it through every film.
Yeah.
He got on a plane to Mexico. I feel like it's gotta be Billy.
Like you said, he's been there through it all.
He's made it. I don't know. He's our survivor.
Yeah. He's our final girl.
He is. Billy, congratulations, girl boss.
Congratulations, Billy. You are the winner of the Slay Queen Yes Mama Girl Boss Award for Best Final Girl, presented by Dove. And then last but certainly not least, it's the No Small Parts, Only Small Actors Award for Stand-Up Performance by a Background Actor. This award is presented to the best background character of the season, which background character frankly deserves an Oscar for their work.
And there are a lot to choose from.
There are.
Season 1 nominees: Diana Gordon, Saw.
Diana,
let me be the one to. Corbett Denlin, Saw 3, Saw 5, Saw 6.
Corbett,
Corbett,
Corbett.
The crowd is chanting. Special Agent Dan Erickson's Bluetooth headset, Saw 5. Pee-wee, the dog who wanted to kill Hoffman in the hallway, Saw 5. And finally, the Taroni delivery guy in Spiral.
God.
Star-studded.
A truly star-studded cast. I mean,
what a category to be nominated in.
I think this is actually the highest honor of the evening.
I think so, too. I think so, too.
The No Small Parts, Only Small Actors Award.
I agree. I'm torn between Pee-wee
yeah.
and Taroni.
I know.
I just feel like Taroni has stuck with us so much.
Yeah.
But also, like, what would that film be without Pee-wee, the German Shepherd?
Who tried to kill Hoffman in the hallway.
He knew. He tried to warn them.
He, you know, Hoffman did, not Hoffman, Pee-wee did kind of steal the scene a little bit.
He did.
He's a scene stealer. But then also, Taroni delivery?
I feel like it has to be Taroni. Because it's so out of, like, nowhere.
Yeah.
Just extremely out of pocket. Why is that a line? He got paid for that. He got paid for that.
He showed up and he ate his one line.
He did.
And then he went home and ate his Taroni. Because he was paid in Taroni.
I believe that to be true.
I have no choice but to believe.
Congrats, Taroni delivery guy. You've made it the big times. You're an award winner.
Yay! A round of applause for all of our award winners for our season
You're all winners in our hearts.
For our season one award show. Thank you, everyone. Your performances did not go unnoticed.
No. They changed our lives.
For the better.
I agree. We've made it to the end of the season. The end of our season wrap-up episode. Is there anything you want to say?
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for walking through these movies that we love so dearly with us.
So near and dear to our heart.
We rib them because we love them.
We kid because we love.
And that's the vibe.
It's been a fun season.
It has, and I can't wait to do it all over again.
We'll be back.
We'll be back. Stay tuned for season announcements.
Season 2's coming.
It's brewing. It's in the works.
So, get ready for that.
Get ready for that.
But in the meantime, if you want to follow along with us, because we'll continue to be active on social media even during our off season, we're on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Letterboxd at HonestlyPod, and Facebook.com/HonestlyPod. You can email us at thehonestlypodcast@gmail.com. Visit our website at honestlypod.ca.
Yes, just .ca.
That's all it is. It's incredible.
That's it.
We have merchandise for Perchandise. You can go to our website and it'll take you there. Or you can go to honestlypod.threadless.com.
We got cute little things. And soon we will have something else there.
There's more stuff coming, there's more stuff brewing, so stick around and find out what that is. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Podable, Pocket Casts.
Other places?
TBD.
Perhaps?
Wherever you're listening, that's where we are. If you leave us a written review wherever you can do that, send us a screenshot of it and we'll send you some limited edition Honestly Pod stickers.
Including season-specific stickers. We have a huge pig motif sticker for this season. Who knows what could happen next season? Maybe you can get one of those.
I think you should.
I think you should too.
So,
is that it?
That's all.
All right.
Bye.
Cue Zepp's theme. Da-da-da. 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 Da-da-da.